I'd invite you to take your Bible and open to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 today. If you do not have a Bible with you today, no fear. The men are coming with Bibles in their hands, and it'd be their joy to catch your eye and give you a Bible this morning. So please just do that. You can use it and return it in the back, or take it home as our gift to you. It'd be our joy to give you a copy of God's Word. John chapter 14 is on page 901 of the Bibles that we're giving away this morning. And let's review a little bit where we've been so far in our study of the upper room, where we're looking at foundations for upward ministry. The Gospel of John can be divided into five large sections. The first three sections are all in the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John, where you see the Son of God incarnate and then presented to the world with these seven key miracles, only to be opposed. All of that takes 12 chapters of the Gospel of John, covering a few years. And now our study has taken us to chapter 13 to 17, the upper room, where we actually go from a few years' time to just a few hours as Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure and their future ministry without his physical presence. And so you say, well, what have we learned so far from John 13? Well, we learned that the love of Christ is foundational for all upward ministry. Christ's love unmasks our hypocrisy. Christ's love gives us a foundation upon which we can build for the glory of God in order to love God's people more and more in humility and humble dependence before him. So now this morning we come to chapter 14, where Jesus is going to offer peace to troubled hearts. You'll find John chapter 14 there on page 901. I'd invite you to stand in honor of God's word as I read for us the first 14 verses of John chapter 14 from the English Standard Translation, which reads, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way that I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that would be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." These are the words of Christ. You may be seated. I'd invite you to pray with me for the meditation of God's word in our own hearts, that we might see the sufficiency of Christ in a clearer fashion this morning. And so, Father, we come now and we pray. Oh, Father, please, please teach us from your word. You are such a good, good Father. Oh, our hearts are anxious about many things. But, Father, as we come to you, we acknowledge and we come with expectant hope, trusting that you this morning through your word will show us the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. You will show us how good and how pleasant and how right Jesus Christ is, and you will cause our hearts to believe in you more. Oh Father, is this possible? That we could love you more because of this morning's worship, that we could trust you more because of the words which you teach us from this morning. Oh God, we are a weak and a hurting people, and we are fickle in our faith. And so we pray together corporately as your church this morning that you would feed us, that you would increase our faith. Father, we pray that everywhere your gospel is proclaimed today, that your Spirit would do a supernatural work for the glory of your name in your church. Oh, Father, please remove all distraction. Help our hearts to be soft and pliable, that we might overcome anxiety by faith. We ask this for your name's sake. Amen. Well, Jesus starts out this morning by saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Fitting words for the 11 disciples around the table in the upper room. They've just seen Judas, one of their own, leave to go and betray Jesus. They've just heard Jesus say that, "I'm going away, and where I'm going, you cannot come." And now the words that are hanging in the silence of this room on this night are these words to Peter. "Peter, before this night is over, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." The anxious perplexity of the disciples must have been staggering on this night. They had left everything to follow Jesus after all. And now Jesus was saying that he was going to leave them? What would this mean for their group? What would this mean for their individual lives? I mean, Jesus had just told Peter, "You're not even going to make it through the night without me." Have you ever experienced a disorienting, unholy turmoil of your soul? We call it anxiety. Sometimes we use the word worry. And sometimes it comes crashing into our lives like a tsunami wave, and other times it's just a mundane drip of disappointment, after fear. But certainly we've all been introduced to this uneasy giant of anxiety, have we not? Soul trouble, worry, confusion and distress, and add a good heaping portion of troublesome possibilities, and that's the recipe for anxiety. So today, as you sit here, and you have the Bible open in front of you to John 14. Some of you are watching your children walk a prodigal path. Some of you, as you sit here this morning, your own marriage is on a drift in the wrong direction. For some of you, your health is failing, or you're facing an overwhelming assignment at school or in your job. Some of us today, this morning, are wrestling with questions. As I come to the church and I see all these other families, will I ever get married? Will I ever have children? Will this pain of this grief ever loosen its death grip upon my soul? Will I have the faith to endure to the end? Will I get Alzheimer's? Loved ones, God is speaking to you this morning, right at the moment, right at the place of your anxiety. Today's scripture is offering real help, real hope for you. For Jesus is teaching us how we can stop letting our hearts be troubled. Anxious hearts find peace in Jesus. Anxious hearts find peace in Christ. Jesus is the answer for every stirred up soul. So lean in this morning. Listen up to the wonderful words of peace for you. And for the next 27 verses, Jesus lovingly teaches anxious souls how to find peace by trusting in Him. And His teaching is just as relevant for us today as it was for the 11 disciples in the upper room on that night. Verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Literally, stop letting your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says. In other words, church, it's your faith in God that will help you to overcome the anxiety of your soul. Disciples, if you believe in God, even though you can't see Him, believe also in me. Keep trusting God through this dark storm of your soul. But perhaps you respond this morning and you say, but I'm too weak. I want to trust God, but I'm too weak. The pain is so deep in my life right now. The disappointment is so great. I'm not sure that I can trust God. And so Jesus gets very, very practical for His weak disciples. You know, our Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. So He gets very practical and He encourages you first to look forward to your eternal home in the very presence of God. Remember, child of God, you have a home. You have an eternal home, child of God, and it's in the very presence of God. In verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would, what have I told you? That I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that where I am, there you may be also. Now you might underline that word place everywhere it occurs in those two verses. For Jesus wants you to know that He's prepared a place for you. Anxious soul, there's a place prepared for you, and there's no place like home, is there? I mean, come in, take your shoes off, flop on the couch. You are at home in the Father's house. When you have a loving Father, there's no place like home. So even while you're surrounded yet by trouble right now, look forward to your future eternal home. For in the Father's house, there are many rooms. Now we need to explain this because some of your translations say there are many mansions. The word in the Greek is the word meno. You kind of hear it in the word monastery. It's that mana word from monastery. It's the word that means to abide. So literally, he's saying there's many dwelling places. There's many abiding places in my Father's family. Translation, your future is secure. I know you're anxious right now, but your future is secure. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. Jesus has prepared a place for you, and it's in His very presence. You aren't going to be a guest. You're going to be at home. It's your home. You're part of His family. And Jesus has prepared it Himself for you. Now, what does that mean? That I'm going to prepare a place for you. Because heaven's not under construction. It's not like, okay, well, I have to go and keep building it until it's ready for you to come. No. What does it mean then that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Well, notice how he comforts the disciples in verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. Underline that word, myself. That where I am, there you may be also. In other words, heaven is a person. The place is a person. Wherever Jesus is, that's heaven to us. So when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, he's saying, I'm going to make ready, a place. I'm going to go and be your substitutionary atonement. I am going to go and be your sacrifice so that when you die, you have a place reserved for you in the presence of a holy God. If you're going to think construction, the only thing that Jesus needs to build to prepare the place of heaven for you is a door. Because we need a way of entrance. Unholy, sinful people like us need a way prepared for us that we might have entrance into the Father's presence. And so he says, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am myself, there you may be also. So in the midst of your present trouble, look forward to the future. God has made a way. Even though you might not see it in a way out of your present circumstances, God has made a way for you to be able to live with him forever. Listen to Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Describing heaven, it says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is heaven. This is far more precious than a bunch of mansions on a bunch of different hilltops. You have a permanent dwelling place together with God himself, completely at home, completely at peace. So trust God with your future. Keep believing in God. But here in the meantime, rest in Christ alone as your way home. In the meantime, between here and heaven, rest in Christ alone as your way home. The key word in the next three verses is way. Because anxious hearts are always looking for a way out, a way of peace, a way of relief. And so Jesus, after directing the disciples' thoughts to their forever future in his presence with them, says, and you know the way that I'm going. And Thomas speaks up and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, Jesus is everything you need. You can rest in Christ alone. He's the way home. Jesus tells the disciples that they know where he's going, but Thomas is like perplexed. He's confused. He's saying, well, how? You said you're going to some place where we can't go with you. How are we going to know the way of where you're going? Perhaps you can relate to Thomas's confusion. It all seems so confusing. How can we know how to get to heaven? It seems ethereal, and I'm living my life here and now. It's concrete. It's practical. How do I get to heaven? What does that look like? And the answer from Jesus' lips in verse 6 is striking. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the fully sufficient God. I am that I am. I am truth. You can trust me. I am life for your deadness. In other words, since Jesus is the way to God, don't miss this. Here you are in your anxious distress this morning. Since Jesus is the way to God, understand, he's coming to get you. He's on his way. He's made everything possible. He's everything that you need. You don't need to figure out how to make your life better. You don't need to figure out how to solve your own sin problem. Jesus took care of it all. Just believe on Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You see, friend, there's no other way to heaven. Jesus makes it clear. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's exclusive language. There's only one way to our eternal home, and that's through Jesus Christ. But you know what? You know what we do as anxious hearts? Anxious hearts take up a lot of energy trying to fix our situation, right? I like that one quote that anxiety is like a rocking chair. Uses up a lot of energy but doesn't take you anywhere, you know? Proverbs says it this way, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the way thereof is the way of death. So troubled soul, cease from striving and rest in Christ alone. Believe. Believe in Christ. That means repent of your despair. Repent of your pride. And believe that Jesus is enough for you. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be delivered, rescued, saved, but Jesus Christ. I don't want you to miss the wonder of this. That means that today is a day of salvation. That means today is a day where God's Spirit is using His Word to reach out to your heart and to call you to believe on Him for the salvation of your sins. Today is a day where your home can be secured through your faith in Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is reaching out to you today by His Spirit and convicting you of your sin, don't wait for tomorrow. You're not promised that the Holy Spirit's going to call you to Him tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Believe on Jesus Christ and you can have an eternal life forever and ever with Christ. It won't take away all your problems here. Salvation doesn't take away all your problems here, but you know what it does? Is it puts you and the Almighty God of the universe on the same team so that you can walk through your problems together. Will you believe on Jesus today? Trust in Christ for all that you need. Let Christ be your life and your way. He will lead you to welcome acceptance with God. And then know that God Himself is with you. This is good news for an anxious heart. Listen, God Himself is with you today, church. Look at verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know me and have seen Him. Jesus has made God known. Jesus is the Word become flesh, dwelling among His disciples, so that they could see the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus has made God known. So be sure of this in your anxiety today. Your Savior is God Himself. Your Savior goes by the name Ancient of Days. Your Savior is a sovereign ruler. You are not a forgotten orphan. You are the precious, beloved treasure of King Jesus. In the middle of your distress, in the middle of your worry, don't miss the fact that Jesus is here. You see, this is how I am sometimes. Have you ever wished and even prayed, "Oh Lord, this would all be better if you were just right here with me right now"? Have you ever said, "Lord, it would just be enough if you could just show up in the flesh and help me out here"? Well, if so, you and Philip would get along really good. Look at verse 8. Because Philip says, "Lord, you're saying you're going away. So just show us the Father and it will be enough. It will be sufficient for us. If you have to go away, Lord, just give us one thing. Just show us the Father. Our anxieties will be put to rest if we could just see God physically here with us." Can you relate to Philip's request this morning? All my anxieties would be at peace. If God was just here with me, I'd be okay. But Jesus is teaching us this morning, God Himself is with us today. For contrary to the popular saying, believing is seeing. See, Philip asked for sight. "I want to see God." But he had seen Jesus Christ physically for 3 years, and it didn't help his anxiety at all. He needed something more than sight. He needed faith in God. Jesus says, "Have I been so long with you? You still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? The Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." See, Jesus does not call for blind faith. He calls for thinking faith. Believe my words. Believe my works. So no matter how you think about your present trouble, no matter how small or large it might be, the question for you this morning is, are you seeing God in your trouble? You say, well, how do you do that? By faith. By believing the words of God in His Word. By believing in the works of God. By remembering how God's Spirit has worked in your own heart to save you from sin. By remembering how God's Spirit is working in the lives of your loved ones around you. Are you remembering the miraculous work of God's grace? Are you praying that your soul would go deeper into trusting Christ's words and Christ's works? You see, when faith opens the eyes of our hearts to see God, we start to talk to Him. So it's no wonder that Jesus goes next to prayer, telling the disciples to pray now for God's greater glory. Jesus wants them to know that even though He's physically going away, greater things are coming. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Now that's amazing. Do you believe what you just read there? Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will He do because I'm going to the Father. This is absolutely incredible. What do you mean by greater works? Jesus healed the lame. He calmed the storm. He raised people from the dead. These are the greatest miracles we could ever imagine. And certainly, we're not doing those miracles today. So what does it mean that we will do what Jesus does, and even greater works than these will we do? Well, Jesus is referring not to the greater power, but to a greater scope. A greater scope of works. Remember, Jesus' ministry was pretty much 3 years long and confined to a corner of the world called Israel. But after Jesus ascended to the Father, it was just a matter of years through the preaching of the apostles under the power of the Holy Spirit that literally thousands and yes, millions of people were born again by the Spirit of God and have developed the church, and the church has spread into millions, into every nation of the world today. So Jesus wants us to know that while our soul may be troubled right now, our future is bright, church. He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us. And because the Holy Spirit is with us and in us, our future is bright. Yes, greater works than these are there for us. And remember as well, Jesus will supply all you need by His Holy Spirit. So don't worry, but keep believing in God and pray. Look at verse 13 and 14, and as I read them, ask yourself, do I believe this? Do I believe John 14, 13, and 14? Does my prayer life give evidence that I believe these truths? Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Great resources are available to those who are in Christ. Even though Christ is not physically present with us, every believer can speak to God in the very name of His Son. You say, well, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? It's not a magic formula. It means to pray consistent with the will of Jesus, to pray consistent with the character of the person and work of Jesus, to acknowledge my own neediness, that I don't deserve to receive an answer, but I come in Christ, that I can speak to God Himself in Christ from the position of Christ in conformance to God's Son. What privilege to pray in this way so that God, Jesus says, this then I will do. Jesus says, I will answer your prayers. Himself. As long as they're praying, what does it say in verse 14? that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, when Jesus teaches us to pray, he doesn't teach us to say, my kingdom come. Lord, I pray that you'd hallow my name. No, no. Hallowed be your name. To pray in Jesus' name means that we're praying according to the desires of Christ's heart. And what does Christ desire more than the glory of his Father and his reputation? Jesus desires for the reputation of God to be put on display, for his attributes and his activities to be seen by all. So he says, pray. And when you pray, know that I will answer. There's no trouble that can separate you from Christ's love. Jesus will never fail. Anxious hearts find peace in Christ. So for that, for us today, this morning, with whatever is stirring up your soul, stop worrying. And what do we do instead? Keep trusting God. Keep looking to God for your hope and for your help. Look forward to the eternal dwelling that is prepared for you. Everything's been provided so that you will live forever. Dear child of God, you will live forever in the very presence of the King. Rest in the truth that God has prepared a way for you. And Jesus is the only way home. Don't leave here today before you have that conscience conviction anchored in the truth that my home is secured in my faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And then know that he's always with you. Because of his Spirit, God is with you, dear child of God. And he will never waste the trial that you are in. So instead of fretting, take the energy and pray for the greater glory of God in your life. Pray that God will use this momentary light affliction to connect to an eternal weight of glory far surpassing all that you can imagine for all of eternity. Pray that God would allow his name to be hallowed, his will to be done in your life. Let not your hearts be troubled, dear disciples of God. Believe in God. And keep believing in him. Let us pray. So Father, we come now and we ask that you would help us to believe in your words and your works. We pray that you'd help us not to be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we make our requests known to you so that the peace of God would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And help us to pursue obedience even in the midst of the pain, so that whatever we learn from your word we would do, and our thoughts would be fixed upon you. Oh Father, I pray for our church. I pray for us. We need you. We need you to move in our anxiety. We long for your peace. And so I pray, Father, that you would move powerfully and make Jesus everything to us. Please, we know that he's all that we need, but we still believe the lies of sin. So please, make Jesus everything to us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.